Okay.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
You have to have, a new appreciation for Rose fingers.
He's a master,
touch screens.
Like it's nobody's
business.
It's
like that scene at the end of Sully when they're simulating the flight and they kept hitting the trees.
It's like, how do you do this? What do I press? Don't press that one, but I do have to press this one.
Number five.
Thank you, Orion. How did I do with that one? Pretty good. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
The White House directed the Navy to keep the name of the USS McCain warship out of sight during President Trump's recent visit to Japan. That directive was not carried out, and President Trump claimed on Twitter he knew nothing about it. The late John McCain's daughter, Meghan McCain, we know her, on The View this morning, called that an impossibility, but also remarked that these actions by Trump create a much wider problem for the military.
You're putting people in the military in horrific situations because they're fearful of their jobs. If, God forbid, you're a sailor on this ship, you think there's going to be some kind of retribution. And I think it's horrible. I think it's bad for Americans. And I think we really have to look at the kind of culture that's being put in place. I don't blame the people in the military. I have nothing but respect for people who serve. Putting a note on this, there's a lot of criticism towards me in the media across the board of how often I speak of my father, how I grieve, how I do it publicly, but it's impossible to go through the grief process when my father, who's been dead 10 months, is constantly in the news cycle because the president is so obsessed with the fact that he's never going to be a great man like he was.
Yeah.
So it actually is a bizarre way to grieve. It's a bizarre way to say goodbye to my dad because it's so omnipresent in politics and not in a way like we're honoring him in the way that you're weaponizing his legacy in the way that you want. So I just want to say that please have a little more compassion. This is very hard.
Hmm. I don't blame her for trying to defend her dad, right? I mean, you know, you think about it, it's hard to hear.
The first part of that about the military's put in harm's way, I don't know if I buy that. That's just
that piece of it.
Hyperbole.
But the second part, yeah, I mean, that's a great point about trying to mourn your father when your father is constantly being beat up on for his
legacy. And he's not here to speak up for himself.
But do you buy the president that he didn't know anything about that? Do you see that's fake news that a source came out just to embarrass him about
it? It's possible because he knows so little about so many different things going on right under his feet. But it's, you know, that kind of plausible deniability. But even when he said he wasn't aware of it, he then said it was well-intentioned, as if it was a good intention and a good idea to dishonor three generations of military
and
heroes with this insane plan to put a tarp and then move a ship and then have the hats taken off. I mean, that's stuff it's a Steve Harvey memo, not a presidential edict. Jeez.
Totally true. He says, you know, it's funny because the Wall Street Journal, which broke this story, is saying that it's likely that he did not know, but you're right. Well-meaning aides tried to shield him from having to view his name.
That's not well-meaning.
It is not. Jeez. It's wrong. It's just wrong. All right, checking in.
Number four.
As he departed the White House for a trip to Colorado, President Trump made his feelings well known after special counsel Robert Mueller broke his more than 2-year silence about the Russian interference in the Mueller report and the whole 2016 election investigation into his campaign, and if the president obstructed justice as well.
Well, I think it was the same as the report. There wasn't much change. It was, to me, the same as the report. And there's no obstruction. You see what we're saying. There's no obstruction, there's no collusion, there's no nothing. It's nothing but a witch hunt. This is a witch hunt by the media and the Democrats, their partners. And it keeps going. I thought it was finished when the report was released, but it goes on. And this, to me, it was the same, frankly, as the report. And he said, basically, it was the same as the report.
It just kind of feels like he missed it. Didn't actually see it. He's like, oh, that? No, it's the same as the report.
Exactly. And again, for those of you thinking that might be Marine One, those are actually the inner workings of the president's mind that you hear there while he's trying to
hear
think.
It, right?
Yeah.
The inner monologue just comes all out.
He seems, I mean, for as many people who, you know, are following the president and supporting the president, you have to recognize just how calculated and orchestrated. He uses the same three words, mm-hmm. no obstruction, no collusion. It's a witch hunt, witch hunt. He says it over and over to the point of any objective person looking. It's like, that seems like you're reaching for those words. You're on purpose saying those words over and over for a reason. Not necessarily to exonerate yourself, but because you know that you're trying to sell something.
He's a marketing genius.
But it works with this. Did you see Get Out? There's the little the tea thing and the spoon. Every time she wanted to, like, you know, basically, that's how he plays his bass.
We also have another, a little more audio here from the president, so you can listen to this. Took offense to the notion he colluded with the foreign country, with Russia, to win the White House.
No, Russia did not help me get elected. You know who got me elected? You know who got me elected? I got me elected. Russia didn't help me at all. Russia, if anything, I think, helped the other side. What you ought to ask is this. Do you think the media helped Hillary Clinton get elected? She didn't make it. But you take a look at collusion between Hillary Clinton and the media. You take a look at collusion between Hillary Clinton and Russia. She had more to do in the campaign with Russia than I did. I had nothing to do.
I think that when I heard that live, I thought it was a perfect opportunity to say the people elected me. But he says, I did it.
No, he never. Right? Yeah, but never. Never going to give anybody credit.
The American people spoke.
No, I did. This is me. It's all on me. We've got a 3 and a 2 and a 1, and we need to take a breather here. I think this is a perfect place to do it. So let's take a break right here. Check in what's coming up on the bottom of the hour, at the bottom of the hour, from Kim Gordon.
Another governor signed a restrictive abortion bill.
This week on Chicago's Best, it's crispy, savory, and oh so perfect. It should be its own food group. It's Chicago's Best Bacon, Sunday night, 10 o'clock, WGN TV.
Thanks.
It is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlancis. We've got Justin Kaufman and Richard Roper in studio today, as Ro is off today, and we're keeping him in our thoughts today, as we are anticipating he'll be returning very soon. Okay. We want to give a shout-out to Gail in West Chicago. She just qualified to win the Pucks in Prague trip for two to see the Blackhawks open their season. I would love to go to that game. I mean, that is, like, huge if you're a Hawks fan, right? Yeah. So congrats to you, Gail, and you get a prize package just for qualifying today. Very cool. So checking in at
number 3.
Here we go. Kanye West, did you see this? Sat down for a little interview. Very, very graphic and vivid detail about what it's like to have bipolar episodes. And he complains to people who just don't get it. Made it way worse for him, he said. All the scrutiny and the way people talked about him. He opened up about his mental health struggles to David Letterman for his Netflix show, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. And he tries to get people to imagine an injured part of the body and then transfer that concept to the brain.
I can just tell you what I'm feeling at the time. And I feel a heightened connection with the universe when I'm ramping up. It is a health issue. This is like a sprained brain, like having a sprained ankle. And if someone has a sprained ankle, you're not gonna push on him more.
Right.
With us, once our brain gets to a point of spraining, people do everything to make it worse.
Wow. That is insane.
I can't disagree with that. I think that's a pretty apt analogy. I don't know, and I know it's a long interview with David Letterman, but if Kanye's getting the treatment he should be getting, that's what worries me.
Do you think being in the Kardashian clan may not be all that healthy for him in that situation?
I don't know. I think actually, I feel like Kim is the most grounded member of that family, actually, as the years go by. But I just wonder, I think what he's saying is probably true, but I don't know if he's doing what should be done or can be done. I don't know that he's not, but I think it is one of the reasons why a lot of us have kind of pulled back with the mocking sometimes. You realize this is a guy that needs some help. And as opposed to 10 years ago, where people, I think even then, were less enlightened when Britney Spears was having her meltdown.
Yeah, right. Well, you weren't sure, as you aren't always sure with celebrities, is it something to promote? Is it something they're doing just to make a headline? But in his case, he's coming out to say, no, I'm really dealing with mental illness. And you think a guy like Kanye doing that is going to shine a light on mental illness and, maybe he'll help some people. I think that is a really revealing thing to say.
He's
an admission. To make.
And he's absolutely an eloquent and articulate guy. I've known from the get-go of his career, he has always had great things to say about the music and the message that he's putting out. Where it gets confused is he having a bipolar episode when he's out in front of Jimmy Kimmel. Or
that felt like
Trump
an act, or taking Taylor Swift's trophy away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That was not good.
That's where you
didn't like that.
Kanye West. Yeah. If he just has,
I would agree with that.
A bad personality.
And that doesn't help either. Yeah, right. I think the strongest point he made, which is true though, is if someone's physically injured, nobody really makes fun of them for that. They're like, oh, I hope you get better. Feel better. How are you doing? And if someone's having mental problems, emotional issues like that, there's still a tendency for all of us, myself included, I'm certainly not above it, of, you know, sometimes to pile on and make it worse, as he said.
Right. Well, he does say some things that are just so out there, and you just wonder.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
now,
absolutely.
And, you're right. Not all of it falls into that category of mental health issues. It has to do with some just kind of making a splash about things and speaking his mind. All right, Kanye. Just checking in at
number two.
Yes, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens to the public tomorrow morning, but reporters, they got a preview of what fans can expect when they pass through the gates of Disneyland in Anaheim, California. Steve Goddard, ride project engineer with Walt Disney Imagineering, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was a thing. You're an Imagineer.
Imagineering, yes.
Of course you are, yes. That's a job. It says the Millennium Falcon ride he helped create gave him all that he needed to feel.
We did not miss a single detail. When we started this attraction 4 or 5 years ago, we flew to Pinewood Studios in London, and we sat in this set, and we analyzed it, and we took pictures, and we planned how we could exactly recreate it for Star Wars. And this is what's in the movie is what you see here. The Falcon is a completely interactive experience. You're piloting it. You're repairing damage. You're firing the blasters. You are flying the Millennium Falcon. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Wow.
Lauren, when are you going?
Repairing damage. That's an interesting part.
They're putting you to work. The most amazing thing is it actually allows you to go back in time and remake Phantom Menace, which I think a lot of fans have been wanting for a long time.
We do want that.
I'm the only person who got nauseous listening to that, just knowing that all that amazing stuff, all that stuff that goes into the ride, and it's going to be one of those rides where you just move, and
it
the
looks
screens
incredible.
Around you move, and you just get rocked, and you go,
you're starting to throw up in your mouth just thinking about
new
it.
New style of roller coaster that they have created.
Millennium Falcon. Yeah. This is not a roller coaster. This is the Millennium Falcon, Justin. Yeah.
Gosh.
That style.
Lauren, is this in your future?
Lauren, tell him what's what.
I hope so.
Yeah, I see you there. I see Lauren there.
I totally do. I'd like to go check it out, too. Are you kidding?
Okay, good.
We'll
Anna,
go together.
You can be the one to go with me.
I'll let you
tour you with your little Princess Leia haircuts walking through the park.
I'll Chewbacca it. Actually, what happens is if you do crash it, one of the reporters did in the test piloting, and Chewbacca took over. So that's
now,
like a backup
thing. Have the hotels opened yet? Like the Star Wars themed hotels that are going to be part of that Disney? Because it's Galaxy's Edge is part of this park.
Right.
But they're creating like you can stay at the hotels.
It's supposed to be amazing.
That's the idea that you can pick where you want to stay, meaning if you want to be a rebel or you want to be a stormtrooper, and then
cosplay.
They have a Star Wars bar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The cantina.
That would be awesome.
The robes and all that kind of stuff are themed that way, so you can dress like a stormtrooper.
Look, they don't miss a trick. And, you know, I give Disneyland,
it's so expensive.
You know, 15, 20 years ago was just a couple of teacups. It had kind of like, you know, because they'd moved on to so many other projects, and they've done amazing things with it.
I love that park, yeah.
Fun for
us. We're all going.
Let's do it. Team trip. Okay, we're in.
Ro will be here by himself.
He's like, I'm
in
not
about
doing
a month.
That.
Where's everyone?
Ro won't be in on that.
Guys gone?
All right, let's check in. Finally,
number one.
He's an actor. He's a politician, and now as singer and a rapper, Arnold Schwarzenegger is featured rapping. Have you seen this? In a new song titled "Pump It Up." The motivation song. Austrian singer Andreas Gabalier wrote, produced, and recorded the track for Arnold.
Hey, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Listen carefully. Dig deep down and ask yourself, who do you wanna be? Not what, but who. If you believe success will come to you, work like hell, trust yourself, and all your dreams come true. Break some rules, not the law. Don't be afraid to fail. You have to think outside the box. I say no pain, no gain. I don't wanna hear it can be done. Give always something back. My name is Arnold.
I think that's enough, guys. Yeah. Do you want to hear a little more?
Is that really rap?
We give it that.
It's just a little speak song, spoken.
And a
spoken
word song. Right Said Fred style to it.
It is like Right Said Fred. I'm too sexy for my
song. Thank you, Arnold.
That was number one.
We needed to hear that. Let's wrap this thing
right
up. Let's do it. Let's do it. We have to wrap it up, and that's that button right there.
Top five at five.
Get to the chopper!